Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Come on in the room. Come on in the room. We are so excited to have you here today on Broken Vessels Podcast, this special, special episode. We titled it Strengthen the Brethren because that is what it's about. We are going to share by the leading of the Holy Spirit a really honest and transparent conversation about healing from pain, whatever that pain may be, whether it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, grief, loss, betrayal, hurt, whatever it may be. We're going to have a transparent conversation this morning. So again, I thank you all for tuning into Broken Vessels Podcast. I'm your host, Latoya Washington, and I have a lovely, lovely guest here with me today. I'm actually in her beautiful home, so I'm grateful for that. And her name is Linda Donnelly. She's the visionary of Behold His Presence, custom flags, books, everything. Miss Linda has everything, jewelry, so you guys check her out. So welcome, Miss Linda.
Thank you so much. happy to be here.
Yes, we're so excited to have you here and to have this conversation that we've had privately, but we see that other people are going through it. And to just give a little feedback to how it originated to have this conversation is one day I was talking to someone, and then I noticed on a Instagram there was a pastor that I had been following for years. I mean, following him for quite some time, and didn't see anything from him for a while. And all of a sudden, he posted that he was no longer going to be a pastor after 13 years. And so, even though I saw that he's no longer pastoring and whatnot, it was his message underneath that really pricked me, that he had experienced some hurt, some pain, some devastation that caused him to walk completely away from the ministry. He didn't walk away from the faith, as we know the word of God says, many will walk away and turn away from the faith, but he walked away from ministry. And I kept saying, what led him to get to that point? And he said in his actual Instagram post that he had seen some hypocrisy and seen some things that troubled him, and they got away with it. So what I read in that was not what he exposed, but that he was still hurting and that he was still carrying this thing that, even though it seemed like he was okay, he really wasn't. And so I just want to have this conversation today with Miss Linda, who's here with wisdom as well, who it helps and it can share and talk with us about it. So before we get started, Miss Linda, if you could just lead us in prayer today.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone that is watching and viewing. Lord, let their heart be open for healing and restoration. At this time, Lord, open their eyes to your word to let them know that you love them beyond measure, that you went to the cross to die for them. So thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for all your people. Let them be blessed with what we have to share in Jesus' name. And may healing take place.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So healing is possible. That is one thing that I want to share from my perspective, that healing is possible. I thank God for the passage of scripture. I don't know exactly where it is, but I know there's healing in his wings. There's healing in his love. There's healing in his presence. There's healing in salvation. And so to know that it's possible to heal from that hurt and pain brings hope. Did you ever have a moment, Miss Linda, where it felt like in that particular situation, whatever it was, you don't have to share exactly what it was. Did you feel hopeless at all that you could heal from this or this would get better?
Not really.
That's honest.
Okay.
It's honest though.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it's a process, and it can be like an onion. Just like I feel forgiveness is a big part of healing. And when the enemy brings that person around to remind you, or you start thinking about the past, I always tell people you can't move forward if you're looking backwards, because you're going to run into stuff. So if you can stop, because it says in the word that we're to take every thought captive. Yes. That means we have to think about everything that we're thinking about. And when we know it's not from God, if it's not from his word, if it's not even positive, it's not the Lord. It's the enemy. So you have to stop your thought process and speak to the enemy and say, no, I'm not going there. I forgive them. And just keep saying it. And even though you may not even want to forgive them, ask the Lord to soften your heart.
Amen. Amen.
And just keep saying it. I forgive you. Say their name. I forgive you. Say their name. And after you say that, don't think about the about what has happened in the past.
That is so true, because I can say that there have been plenty of times where it's like, no, I cast that thought down. I cast that down because I had to take that scripture that Miss Linda's talking about and really mean that thing to truly get to another level in healing. And that's why, you know, I thank God for honesty. And I talk about it in the second book that I wrote, that I'm not dead yet. Like, there were still things that I was allowing to get to me because I wasn't dead yet, in the sense that I was allowing those emotions and those things to affect me that will cause me to react, right? Or cause me to get upset. And I realize I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me. I'm allowing myself. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say what my pastor says: you can't offend a dead man.
Yes. And that is what, and I'm telling you guys, when Miss Linda said that, I'm telling you, that thing sat in there, and this is why it's so beautiful to be around wise counsel. You know, when I talked to my pastor about it, I had to be honest and say, this is how I'm feeling. And there was a place where, you know, you thought being honest and saying that I feel this way as a believer, it was like, oh, well, maybe I'm not believing God because I feel this way. No, I do feel this way. I'm a human being, and this hurt, this bothered me, this affected me, but I have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide me, guide my actions, guide my thoughts, guide my words. And when Miss Linda said that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Tap, 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 Father, correction, right? You know how to tap, 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 right?
Well, and what that means is being dead to the flesh.
Yeah.
Being dead to sin, being dead to those things that we do that we know we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Or things that we shouldn't be watching, or things we music that we shouldn't be listening to. All of that has an effect on you. You think it doesn't, but it does. People that you hang around, you might need to choose new friends, people that are going to support you, people, you know, that are going to love you no matter what you do.
And
that's true love. That's unconditional love. Unconditional love.
Yeah. And also, when you said that your pastor had brought up about you can't offend a dead man, it's also that offense that comes is, you know, one thing I can say, and I say this all the time when I'm working with different clients, is that sometimes I've noticed that the victim becomes the criminal and the criminal gets more celebrated. But it's just, and so you see, even sometimes in court systems, and I can't speak for every court system, but I've noticed that the victim has to talk about the story over and over and over again. And of course, the defense is looking for little holes that they can, you know, go into. And what that does to a person, it causes that person to, you know, feel as though I'm not hurt, or cause that person to just shrink back inside. And so we want the Holy Spirit for them to open up, to heal, you know, and not to hold on to that offense, and not to hold on to it to the point where it just destroys their lives, their relationships. Bitterness is in there. Unforgiveness is in there. And we're speaking this, not that we've, you know, we're the poster children for, you know, we've never been offended. Oh no, we've all been offended, and we've offended somebody. But this is about being honest and saying, I played a part in this. So I think that shows growth too, when you can be honest and say, you know what, I was offended. This bothered me. This affected me. And it was a part of me, like Miss Linda's pastor said, that was not dead yet. Right.
So another thing is too, it says in the Bible that if somebody offends you, you're to go to them.
Yes.
Do not talk. Keep talking about it, talking, mm-hmm. because it keeps that thing alive.
Yes.
Go to them. Ask them if you can talk to them and be right. able to talk about it and get it resolved.
So let me ask you a question, because this is good. Let me ask you a question. For someone who has gone to, say someone has gone to a person and said, hey, this privately, because that's one thing the scripture says, privately. I think sometimes in this culture, we do it openly, bam, bam, bam. But if you privately go to that person, and it's still, they continue. How does someone navigate that then? I love Miss Linda's silent cues. If you just spend time
best
with Miss Linda.
Ever.
So tell us about that book. Tell us about that book, and who's it written by?
It's written by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. They are Christians.
Yeah.
And I wrote down some things that boundaries haven't been taught. My generation.
Mm, mine too.
Yes, I did daycare for 15 years and of age in the 60s, just heard about personal space.
Mm.
I never heard about that before, but I learned about it at my job, and it's like, oh, I was probably in everybody's face. Okay. So what boundaries do is boundaries makes your life healthy and puts a balance to it.
Mm.
We all need balance to a balanced lifestyle.
Mm.
Boundaries define who you are and who you are not.
Wow.
Physical boundaries help us stay in touch, mm-hmm. under the circumstances. Mental boundaries give us the freedom to have our own thoughts and options. Emotional boundaries help us to deal with our own emotions, from harmful, manipulative emotions of others. Spiritual boundaries help us to distinguish God's will from our own, and gives us renewed awe for the Creator. Boundaries are a decisive tool. Boundaries do not control, attack, or hurt others. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life.
Amen. Amen.
So that's just a few things. I don't want to take up the whole time to read all of these.
Yeah. But it's good for those who don't know how to set healthy boundaries, mm-hmm. in your life. You know, one thing I will say is that sometimes people may just honestly be naive to things and are not exposed to things. So if you grow up in an environment of love and a mom and dad, or however the household may be, is just loving and they listen to you and you feel respected and valued, it seems normal to you to be treated with respect and value. So when you get into an environment where it's not, you're not really sure what boundaries to set, because like, this is new to me. So it's a kind of like a culture shock a little bit, because you're trying to figure out people are like this. I'm not used to this. And so what it does is some may resort to people pleasing. Some may resort to overcompensating or trying to prove I'm really a genuine person. Why are you treating me this way? And so,
or even stepping back
or withdrawing.
Yes. Stepping back and just saying, okay, I'm just going to stay away from this person, but Mm-hmm. If you're working with that person and you have to keep in contact with that person,
then that, yes. And that's where boundaries are definitely needed, especially in ministry. I'm gonna be honest with you. When you're in ministry, you know, speaking from my experience, is that you're gonna be in contact with some people you may not necessarily agree to their behavior and actions. And so, and another thing too, is that, and I'm big on this, and anyone who knows me personally, I don't believe in tearing somebody down. If you had a bad experience with me or I had a bad experience with you, I'm not trying to go around and tear that person's ministry down or whatsoever. No, my experience with that person may not have been the best or whatever, and vice versa, but we're not here to tear each other down. We're here to lift each other up and to, you know, encourage one another. But a boundary has been set though, because that person may not be trustworthy. Or that person may look at me and say, no, I had a bad experience with her, so I don't really want to associate with her. But we don't need to tear each other down. You see what I'm saying? Right. But a boundary has been set, because what we have to be careful of is when a person experiences this hurt and pain and we shun them or we reject them because of, you know, what we think or what we know. No, boundaries are important because that person doesn't want to be hurt again, right? The wall is what we don't want up, but the boundaries, right, the healthy boundaries is what we want to work towards, what to share, what not to share, where to go, where not to go. It's nothing against you, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm not going to be able to, you know, do that. I can't pick you up, or so it's like, what I found, and I'll be honest, is I was starting to feel depleted, right? Because it's just I didn't know.
People pleasing.
Yes. And I'm telling you, it was so deep. I'll never forget. My husband was on the couch. He was on that couch, and God's just speaking to me. He's just doing his thing. And I just, in that moment, he's speaking to me while I'm literally folding clothes, that you need to be delivered from people. And I said, people? Be delivered from people. And it just was like a cinematic view of everything. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I mean, the tears are falling. Because I'm like, wow, I finally saw what God saw I was doing. That you're pleasing man and not pleasing me. Why was this decision made? Because of man. Was it made because of me? You know, and so those boundaries are important. Anything you want to share on that?
Yes. Well, not really that, but if somebody has passed that there is some abuse there or whatever, write a letter to them and then burn it.
And burn it. Yes.
Write a letter to them that you forgive them. I mean, this has to come from your heart now. I'm just kind and you can just explain whatever, how you felt, what happened, and then burn it.
Amen. And the reason why Miss Linda's sharing that, you know, for those, I know a lot of therapists, I can't say all therapists use that method, but they write to themselves. Some of them have had their clients write their thoughts to someone, you know, whether they were hurt, abused, you know, or to themselves, like you are worthy of love, even though you went through this, and go and open this up a year later, or, you know, a couple months, or when you're having those low moments. But going back to something you mentioned earlier, was you talked about forgiveness being a layer like an onion. And you're so right, because in this situation where you can't forget, like you have a memory, right? As Miss Linda had brought up the book Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend, I'm also reading a book called Forgiving What You Can't Forget by Lisa Turkis. And I hope I'm saying her name right. Forgive me, Lisa, if you happen to see this. But I'm reading this book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And sometimes it's the memories. Sometimes it's the pictures, you know, that pop up and you see their face, or you happen to go through your photo album and their picture is there. And you're like, wow, God, this person hurt me really, really bad. But I forgive them though, but I still have this memory. And so this book is really showing me that it is only by God's grace and mercy. Like he has, once we ask the Lord for forgiveness, he has literally forgotten it.
Yeah, he doesn't remember.
If he doesn't remember.
He's gonna say, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's forgiven.
I have told people that.
It's literally forgiven.
Yes. It goes into, you know, he just doesn't remember it anymore. He's forgotten
yeah.
it, but have we forgotten it?
Yeah, and I was like, wow. So when you brought up about forgiveness as a layer, you're so right. I had went through a moment in my life when I was younger where, I mean, it was gripping me. It was gripping me. And I had to get to a point where I said, I forgive them. I forgive them. And not just saying it like, just to say it, but really mean it. Like, I right. forgive them. And then I would actually say what it was that was done. And I would say, I forgive myself
yep.
for ignoring the red flag. Oh my. And this is where we get into accountability, because there were some things, if we're honest, take a minute, we might step on a little toes, but we're going to be honest, because this is about strengthening the brethren and being honest about this healing journey. There were some things that the Holy Spirit revealed to you about maybe this relationship, friendship, business relationship, whatever it was, because God is merciful.
Yes, he is.
And when you are praying and seeking God's favor, God will warn you. Now, it's up to you if you listen. That's just my perspective. Have you experienced that? I think sometimes, I can't speak for the men who may listen to this, but I think sometimes as women, we think we can change things. I can change this person. They're going to love me the way I want to be loved. No, you cannot change anybody. It is God. It is God. And they have to be willing to change. And that's why the boundaries that Miss Linda had brought up are so important, because you are forcing this person in your mind that you think is going to change for you. And that's not realistic. You can pray for them. You definitely can pray for them. Prayer is powerful.
Yes,
I mean, I believe
yes,
in prayer.
You do need to pray.
You need to pray. You need to really pray for them and forgive them.
And pray for yourself.
Yes.
In
yes,
this situation
yes.
that if you have done something,
yeah,
then the first step is for you to go to them and say, can we have a few minutes? I would like to talk to you and just say, you know, I'm sorry. I did this. I wasn't aware that I did it, but the Lord showed me, and I want to ask your forgiveness.
And she hit it on the nail. I didn't know that I hurt you.
Pastor
there are
again
people
says that you offend people and you don't even know it.
You don't even know it. You don't even
and
know it.
A lot of times it's a place that we haven't healed in, or somebody else has hurt us that way. And we're going backwards again. You know, don't let yourself go backwards. You have to say, oh, no, this can't happen. Maybe there was no words or whatever. So then you can ask the Lord to help you with that touchy place.
Yeah.
With that touchy place.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. Yeah. It's touchy. It's sensitive to some people, and they didn't even realize it was sensitive.
Right.
And then that person who maybe have caused that sensitive touch to get hit didn't even know that I hurt
right.
you in this
right.
particular way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too, I was listening to two pastors talk about having hard conversations. It takes courage. It takes courage to say, you know what? I did not think this through when I did this, right? I hurt you in a way that was painful, and I really didn't mean it. And somebody might genuinely really did not mean to hurt you, right? And then you have those instances where someone just doesn't care. Like it's, you know, but the goal is still to know that there's forgiveness, to know that there's still healing in that situation. in regards to, oh, you have another book? Miss Linda's pulling her. I love her silent cues. So managing your emotions. This is the next part. Go ahead.
Managing Your Emotions by Joyce Meyer. I really like Joyce Meyer. She is just down to earth and funny. She gets lots of scriptures. Here's another one, Living Beyond Your Emotions or Your Feelings. This is an oldie but goodie. You can go on eBay, get secondhanded books. You don't have to get new books, and they're really reasonable. And I would say, too, to start your day off right. And this isn't a devotional. This is 2 minutes.
Yeah.
2 minutes just to get your thoughts right for the day.
Yeah.
And this is, again, a Joyce Meyer. Whoops.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me
Joyce Myers, you guys, starting your day right.
Yes.
And listen, and another thing that I could say is the Spirit of God led me to just really read over the Beatitudes again through the healing journey. To really read that chapter and to see what Christ was saying in that word. And it just was like piece by piece. And so I like to study and research. So I'm actually looking up, what is the definition of blessed? What is the definition of persecuted? What does these things mean? And it's like, wow, Christ was showing us that you're going to be persecuted. Mm-hmm. You're going to face these things as a believer. And he faced them. He suffered the cross. He died on the cross, and that a painful death. That was a painful death. Mm-hmm. And it's just like every time I try to think about that, it's like, I forgive them. It gets easier and easier. And I can only speak for me. I can only speak for it. It's just slowly but surely, as those layers continue to open up, like Miss Linda said, it's just getting better and better to forgive. Where it's like, it was a point where I didn't even want to be near. Like, no, I don't want to be there. Like, I tell Miss Linda, I'm rough. Everyone knows that. That I'm rough around the edges. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, nope. Mm-mm. Because I mean what I mean, and I say what I say. But I just was like, nope. Anything, I mean, nope. And it was like, I had to be honest with myself and finally say, you're not ready like you think you are. So you can go and you can paint your face and you can dress this, but you're not really healed. You're not really at a place where you can be honest and say, I didn't manage my emotions well, right? I was upset. I was angry, right? I was justifiably angry. And Christ is like, yeah, justified to what? Mm-hmm. To what, right? You know, and it's just like, settle yourself.
When
settle
we come to Christ, we give up all rights.
Come on, Miss Linda.
Don't we?
All rights.
All rights.
All rights. We belong
and
to
that's
him.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one because, you know, we all have our opinions, but you know what they say about that. I'm not going to say it. Everyone has one, right?
Yeah. Everyone has an opinion. But you're right, though. We're just...
We give up all rights. Once we give our hearts and lives to the Lord, our life is in him. In him.
My God. Hallelujah.
It's in him.
In him. In him we have our being. In him. Yeah. Only in him. And you're so right. We give up.
The right to be right.
The right to
be right. The right to be right.
Yeah. We give up the right to be right. I'm trying to tell you. Like, had a situation where it's like, I'm upset. And I'm about to go up and minister in song. And Lord's like, go talk to that person before you go up there and offer this up, because I'm not going to receive it. Literally, minutes before worship, go in the back room, can I talk to you? This is how I felt. This is what I said. And I realized what I said was I apologize. Right before praise and worship. You got to get it right.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will correct you when you think you're right. I'm being honest because I've been there. the Holy Spirit will literally, you're going to offer up an offering and preach and sing, and you are literally like, this is in you. You have an offense and you're about to go up and check me a couple minutes before worship. And I was about to go up like it's nothing, and the Holy Spirit convict me, go have a conversation. And I had to have a conversation.
Yeah.
You want to share something?
I just forgot it.
It's all good. But I want to say in regards to, you know, another book that helped me, it definitely, the Bible helped me the entire journey, and it's still helping me through healing areas and things like that. The Bible, it's just like, that's just what I go to, definitely. But other books I go to as well, you know, that some of the books Miss Linda had suggested as well. But there was another one, Worshiping Through Conflict. I took this course with Prophetess Dr. Kim Black. She has multiple books, and she's a phenomenal writer. But Worshiping Through Conflict, this book was so phenomenal because it was teaching us about personalities and how, you know, and different gifts, and how we can be in unity with each other. And even if we don't agree, I say this a lot, even if you don't agree with someone, you can disagree, you can agree to disagree in love. Me and Miss Linda have different personalities and different cultures we grew up in, environments. And I may not agree with what Miss Linda may say, and she may not agree with what I say, but we are believers, and the whole focus should be unity. The whole focus should be, what is Christ saying? What is the Spirit of God saying about this? Not what I think, not what she may think, but what is the Spirit of God saying? And I thought that that was so helpful because I didn't know that. I was a little naive in that area. I didn't know that it would be a problem if you disagree with someone. Like, I thought that was normal to, oh no, I don't agree with that, and just keep on moving. But no, some people may become offended by saying, you don't agree with me, you know? And that's where Miss Linda has also helped me, is establishing those boundaries and managing your emotions.
Yes.
Anything you want to say about
that? What about the person that has to deal with this person, like at work, or they might be in their family, and they're doing hurtful things, possibly to a son or a daughter, or, you know, those things happen.
Yeah, those, you know, in those situations, it is so sensitive, you know, when you know that a child is being, or a wife or husband is being sexually or physically abused, emotionally abused. One thing I've learned is that about the battered wife syndrome is that sometimes it seems normal to be in this environment. And when they have the opportunity to escape, there's a fear there. And it's like, the door is wide open to get out, but they won't, because there's a fear that I'm used to this abuse, so this is a normal to me. And so when you're trying to help them out of those situations, or trying to get help for someone who's being sexually abused, there's that really thin line where it's just like, you know, okay, God, I need your guidance on this, because this is someone's family. This is someone's husband. This is someone's wife that's experiencing this. I don't want the retaliation. So it's like, how do I help them with that? I think definitely prayer, Miss Linda. Definitely prayer in these situations, because what if you put yourself in danger too? What if that person goes back? We also have authorities we can reach out to. Mm-hmm. There's an anonymous line. Don't ever think you have to say your name. You can call anonymously and say, you know, I've noticed some bruising, or noticed that this child from one minute was, you know, was 4-year-old child, was all happy-go-lucky, and now they're solemn. They never seem to be smiling. I'm really concerned. There's ways for you to remain anonymous, but still try to help. So maybe contact, I think police can do like a check. I think it's like a check, a courtesy check or something like that. I recommend that because I know there's no guarantee. This is just my opinions, but there's so many people that are going through abusive situations and they feel as though there's no help. And you never know. That phone call to that children and youth, or that phone call to the police to help this woman or help this man, because men are physically abused as well, sexually abused as well, can get some help, and you never know. And it's such a sensitive subject, because I definitely think even after getting that help, also seek therapy, seek counseling, you know, even support groups. Surround yourself with men and women of God that are going to help you through this journey. No judgment. They're going to help you to heal through that. Anything you would add on that?
What about verbal abuse?
Oh,
now that's a big one.
Yeah.
Because you can't see that. There's no bruise except in the heart.
Yeah. No. And one thing that's so scary about verbal abuse is that sometimes it takes root to the point that you experienced it.
You start to believe it. You keep hearing it.
Yeah.
Or it can be, you can be watching a family member, an adult, even abusing their husband or their wife or their child, and it has an effect on grandmothers, on aunts and uncles. It sees what goes on. So that is a very hard and can be very hurtful. But again, it goes back to forgiveness and praying for that person.
Yes.
We always have to forgive.
Yeah.
And pray for that person.
Yeah.
Look for scriptures in the Bible on forgiveness. Look, you know, you can go on your phone and it'll bring all anything you want to know. Just ask Siri or Google or somebody for scriptures on love, scriptures on forgiveness, or and just pray for that person and don't give up on that person. You have to keep praying for that person because that's kind of our job, right?
Yeah.
And it comes along with dying to the flesh. It comes along with
most definitely. And another thing too to talk about is, you know, please don't wish harm on that person. I know they've done things and hurt you, and you probably, I don't know where everybody is at in their stage of healing from this pain, but you know, you might be upset, you might be angry, but please don't wish harm on that person.
Well,
you know,
it says be angry and sin not.
Exactly.
And that's a hard one.
And sin not.
Yeah.
It's like when you angry, I literally just had this conversation. When you're angry, you literally have to be very careful. We were just talking about like crime of passion and stuff like that, or when someone's so angry that they see rage, like they just black out, and it's just that is where sin is coming in. I'm telling
you, that's where there's no forgiveness,
none,
and that's where it will get you. It will get you to death.
Yeah, death. And think about it. Of self.
Yeah.
And your future. Because you're so angry in that
moment.
It just
gives you a bad attitude about everything.
Oh, man.
You're just, you know, angry when you're driving, angry. Yeah.
Miserable to be around. Miserable.
Yeah. And you are miserable.
You are miserable. And if you take it and realize all that anger is hurt.
Don't let it take root.
Amen.
In you.
Amen.
Guard your heart. Back to that. Guard your heart. You have to guard your heart and say, no, I'm not going there, Lord. Help me with this. I know this is wrong. You know, I need to love this person unconditionally. You know what? People loved me before I became saved, and even while I am walking through this life, because I'm not perfect. And that's not an excuse to hurt people. You know, we all make mistakes.
And also to giving grace is extend some grace to think about that person. This, one of my favorite scenes, if anyone has ever seen The Shack, one of my favorite scenes is where this symbolism of the Holy Spirit is talking to him and showing him a picture of a child being abused by his father. And so he says, the Holy Spirit says to him, does this person deserve death? And he says, yes, he's hurting a child. And he says, did your dad deserve death? Because he ended up poisoning his father because his father was abusing his mother and abusing him, right? So that picture that the Holy Spirit in this movie is showing him was his father was abused. And he had to show him this was a repeated cycle.
Generational curses.
And to know that he didn't even know that his father was abused, and therefore his father's abusing him. And it's like a repeated cycle. And it's like, if you just take 1 second, my God, and just in that moment where you feel so, so upset, and I could say this because I lived it. I had to really take a minute and say, I need to show grace, because right now I'm feeling this anger, right? But I need to take a second and say, you know what? This person is possibly doing what they saw. This person.
And that's what I'll say to people.
Yeah.
What was their life? Do you know what
their
situation was? Yeah. Is that how they were treated as a child? Because we're a product of our environment. Unless the Lord, unless somebody points it out to us, even though we may not want to hear it or accept it. But
the
generational curses.
And that's
why we need to pray. Excuse me. That's why we need to pray.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. For people, because that they'll change.
Yeah.
That they'll have a change of heart.
Yeah. That they'll have a change of heart, because that's where it's at, the heart. These things, as we've just said, we don't want them to take root. Be angry, but sin not.
Yes.
You're angry, but you don't need to respond in the way that's not pleasing to God. You don't need to respond in a way or react in a way that's not pleasing to God, because you're going to have to face the consequences of that. If I am so angry that I slap Miss Linda, Miss Linda, no, I'm not going to slap. But
thank you.
But if I'm that angry because she said something or did something, and she has the right to call the cops on me and charge me with assault. And there's the consequences of that, right? She has the right to do
now
that.
Now that is a boundary.
That's a boundary. The boundary is I'm going to jail, okay? But I've allowed my anger to get to the point where I responded in such a way that was sinful. I don't need to put my hands on anyone. I don't need to do things that are malicious and manipulative because I'm hurt. And that's where we know that bitterness has really stepped in, and it has taken root in our hearts.
Not only that, it's going to make you sick. They've done tests that says that it will have an effect on your body.
It does. When you hold on to unforgiveness, it affects you. I read that Apostle John Eckhart had a book about destroying rejection, I think it's called. And it talked about all of the effects naturally to your body. Diabetes, high blood pressure, all these different things. Because
depression.
The depression, right?
Depression is big today. And it's because, I believe, because people aren't living right, people aren't doing what we're talking about, keeping their heart right, using boundaries, choosing good friends, staying in the word, you know, all that stuff, because they're living in their emotions.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
Managing your emotions. I'm telling you, You, Lord, help me, help my tongue, guide my speech, guide my words. Did I see this right?
Guide our thoughts.
Guide our thoughts. If it's not of God, if it's not edifying, if it's not uplifting, if it's not motivating, if it's not encouraging, I'm casting it down. If it's not blessing my brother or sister, this thought is causing me to be deceptive and manipulative, and I'm casting that down. I'm casting that down immediately. That is not of God. I'm casting it down. Just like Miss Linda said, we have to be, you know, we have these layers of unforgiveness, but we must forgive. We must.
Yes.
We must forgive. Yes. And we have a few comments here.
Thank
you, Sister Tracy. Love you, beautiful. Yes. If you guys want to leave a comment or have any questions, please do so. We see here Jesus was the perfect example. Let me make sure I read this clearly. Jesus was the perfect example of forgiveness when he laid up on the cross. Amen.
Yes.
And asked his Father to forgive them. They know not what they do. You know what? Isn't that so beautiful that he was on the cross and still was thinking about a soul? And I think, what if we thought about, if I react this way, it could be detrimental to a soul. If they see me as a believer acting out or just acting a fool, what does that do to them? How does that make them feel? I'm not thinking about them at that time. I'm not thinking about there's a soul that's watching and observing. He was going through this pain. You know, it brings me to tears thinking about what he suffered on that cross. And
you couldn't even look at it. It was so...
It's just, and he was just still thinking about a soul on that cross.
Mm-hmm.
He was nailed.
He forgave.
He forgave.
Mm-hmm.
He forgave. Yes. And here's another one. God tells us to forgive quickly. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Don't let that thing. Amen, y'all. Please get a hold of this. Don't let that thing or situation take root. Please don't.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see, I forget what it was. I think it was a Spider-Man movie. And like he was trying to, I love movies, y'all. I love movies. So like Spider-Man is like, he's like this dark web was trying to get a hold of him and he's like ripping it off. You got to make sure you don't let that thing, I'm telling y'all, take root and start to grow. Just like Sister Linda said and Sister Tracy, and bring on sickness and disease, because I'm telling you, it will destroy you. And that's all the enemy wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy.
John 10:10.
That's it. He just wants to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
And sometimes we give him the ammo.
We do it to ourselves. And something else is, I refuse to be offended.
Oh,
I refuse. Because that's, I feel, one of the biggest things the enemy does to the believer. Is get us offended about this, that, and the other thing, and now we're just and it separates us from God. So when we pray, he doesn't even hear us.
That's a separation.
Wow.
And to think that we're offended, you know, when we're offended, I'm looking this word offended up, because I think sometimes we use these words and do we even know what it really means? And look at this, Lord. See, right now I'm already getting convicted. So it says offended. I like Webster's dictionary, but I'm gonna use the Oxford dictionary. So it says offended, resentful, or annoyed, typically as a result of a perceived insult.
There you go.
So I love it. So I became offended, and I'm gonna tell you, I became offended because what was it? It was something like, now there's a difference between righteous indignation. Like there's some things that are sacred and holy that if you I might check you on that. I'm gonna be honest with you, like in a loving way, but I'm, you know, let me get a second, Lord, because this is really disgraceful and desecrating of what is sacred and holy. So Lord, give me the words that are seasoned and salty to share this with this person who may not know. But I'm offended of a perceived insult. So there was a time where someone would say something smart, like, it was something smart, but I perceived it as an insult, And so I was shut down. Like, you insulted me, so I'm not even talking to you. Like, but it's perceived. I don't know if that person honestly was trying to insult me, but I perceived it that it was an insult, that I saw it as an insult. And that's where you were saying that somebody may have been offended and you didn't even know, because I didn't know you were mad because I I parked my car too close to your car. So now when I come outside, you don't even say hi to me, good morning. I'm like, hey, good morning to the neighbor. And the neighbor's mad at me because I parked too close to his car. He's insulted, right? This is not for real. My neighbors love us. But, you know, it's like it's a perceived insult. And I'm like, wow, now. As soon as I read that, I'm like, wow. So I saw it as an insult, or they may see it as an insult, and it never was. So certain actions, this is why it's important to get to know people. Get to know people for yourself, not what others are saying. And no, you get to know that person for yourself, because they may have perceived an insult too, which has shaped their thought of a person. Wow, that's deep. A perceived insult. So it might not even be real. You just think in your mind that this person,
again, people don't even know that they're offending you a lot of times.
Yeah. And that's where the courage, excuse me, to have hard conversations is important, and be willing to sit there. And when you have a hard conversation, one thing I can suggest, because is when you have this conversation, don't just be listening so you can respond. Just sit and just don't say nothing. Just hear what the other party is saying. Because if you're already going into the conversation in defense mode, where you're ready to defend how you feel you're right for your feelings, it's not going to really get anywhere.
Well, what does the Bible say? He will defend us.
Yeah. 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 He will defend you. He will defend you.
Yes.
Yeah. And that urge to defend yourself. I think sometimes, I can't speak for everybody, but I think sometimes it may come from you being used to experiencing your boundaries crossed, or experiencing hurt, where you feel like, I have to defend myself.
That's why we have to heal from all that.
Yeah. We got to heal from that. Because
we'll be on defense.
Always
on the defense.
Always on the defense. Always on the fence about offense. Always. Like, and there's some things you can't control. Like, I can't control if it rains or snows and all this other stuff, but I'm always on a fence about it. Oh my gosh, I'm tired of this rain. I'm tired of this snow. I'm just, you know, it really does. I'm telling you, it takes root and you become bitter, a miserable person.
I have a saying, anybody that knows me knows that, like this. And the scripture is, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah.
And so you always have to keep joy at the top.
Yeah. I'm writing that down. Keep joy at the top, beautiful people. Keep joy at the top. And it's so beautiful because, you know, all of these things that we're saying is because we've been through these experiences where we've taken offense, where we've offended someone and didn't know, where we've reacted, we didn't manage our emotions well. We've all been there, where we didn't start our day right. So the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, get the book. The Holy Spirit is like knocking at your heart at 3-4 in the morning, and you're like, no, I need this extra sleep. And you start your day grouchy. But God wanted to forewarn you, spend some time with me, because this day ahead, daughter, this day ahead, son, is going to be challenging. I know that now, but there was a time where I'm like, no, I want to go to sleep. I want to sleep, Lord. But no, now it's like when I feel that knock, okay, Lord, whatever's going on in the day that I don't know what's coming, or I don't see it, you see it, prepare my heart for when it comes. That takes time. We didn't just get saved and bam, we were doing all that right. No, there was a process, like you said, to get to this point on keeping joy at the top, because I'm going to start saying that. Top. Keep joy at the top.
So that's Nehemiah 8:10. And then I'm going to put my phone up so they can see this. There's another, and I put it on my Facebook page. Jesus can take all your broken pieces and turn them into something beautiful.
Yes, he will. Let's see if I can. Yeah. I'm not very good at this. Miss Linda's getting up to date with technology, y'all. Show some grace to Mama Linda.
It's really a beautiful picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something else that I would like to read. I don't know how much longer we have. Let me make it a little bigger here. I'm walking into 2024 with a clear heart and mind. If you owe me, don't worry about it. If you've wronged me, it's all a good lesson learned. If you're angry with me, you won. I've let go. If you aren't speaking, it's cool. I truly wish you well. If you feel I've wronged you, I apologize. It wasn't intentional. I'm grateful for every experience that I receive. Life is too short to pen up anger, holding grudges, and extra stress or pain. Here's to 2024. Remember, forgiving everyone is for you, so you don't block your blessing. Mm-hmm. Make 2024 a year of positively and a season of forgiveness.
Amen. And I'm telling you, this is a journey of forgiveness. I talk about that beautiful masterpiece in literally in my second book. I say that God can take.
You didn't bring that book.
I didn't bring my book, you guys, but you can go and look. And also the other books that talk about God taking the broken pieces, because he's the potter and we are the clay, right? So if we are happen to be these vessels that crack, or he can make us into what he wants us to be. Beautiful, beautiful masterpieces, cracked. And you know, if you ever look at like in some art shows, those cracks and things that have been thrown away, they sell for thousands and millions of dollars. And to some people, it's just like, oh, that's glass that's broken up. That's a vase that's broken up. But no, it's $1 million. It's $4 million. And someone's sitting that cracked vessel in their home, encased in glass, and it's beautiful. And that's what God does to us. And I think what's so beautiful about this, I say it all the time, a journey to healing. Like in the course, when I was teaching, I had about 10 ladies in the course, and I was teaching, like, this is literally a journey. Like, this is a process that you have to be willing to submit to. You have to be willing.
Submit.
You have to submit to God doing what he needs to do. If we're going to get on that surgery table and let him cut us open, you got to be open. You got to be surrendered on that table and let him cut away those pieces that are not bearing fruit, that are dangerous to us, that are killing us.
Yes.
And it's depressing. Depression will come on.
Depression is a big
thing. And it will grip you. If you got to get a hold of it. I told a young lady, you got to get a hold of it. You don't let it get a hold of you. You got to knock that thing down. Amen. You got to cast that thing down. Like Linda said, you have to cast it down. If that thought is coming, the suicidal thoughts, I've been through that. That suicidal ideation where you're just thinking and you're moving like you're just leaving here. You're talking like you're leaving here. You're talking like you're leaving here. No, you gotta cast that down. You gotta allow the Holy Spirit to just work inside of you. And I'm telling you, you can.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
It's a beautiful, I mean, what a testimony.
Yeah,
we all have a beautiful, wonderful testimony that God has given us.
Amen.
And pastor's done teaching before, you know, your testimony is powerful. Mm-hmm. Give it to people in the doctor's office. Give it to the people when you're standing in line at the grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Share your testimony.
Amen.
Share and you know what? Testimony. Whenever you encourage other people, or what you encourage yourself, mm-hmm. because you hear that You hear it, your heart hears it, your soul man hears it, and it even encourages you. When I, because I'm a big encourager.
Yeah.
So when I'm encouraging other people, I'm encouraging myself.
Amen. Did you ever find on this journey, I got to ask this, did you ever find in this walk with the Lord that when you are at that moment that God wants you to do stuff, like you're just like, no, I just want to sit here, God, and I don't want to serve or do nothing. And all of a sudden somebody call, hey, you got a minute to talk? And the Holy Spirit's like, pray for that person. But you're right. Like, you are going through what you're going through, and the Holy Spirit just like, you still got work to do. All right, daughter. All right, son. But come on, let's go. And it refreshes you. You're like, oh man, this person is going through something worse than me.
Yeah, it makes your situation seem like nothing.
Yeah, it does.
So there's always somebody worse that's going through worse things than what you are.
Yeah.
But you touched on a thing I find, I love helping other people.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for years. I'm sewing stuff into people all the time, taking people out to eat, paying for the bill. And I am not glorifying myself.
Yeah,
what
I'm
saying is what that does for me.
Yeah.
I'm doing my Father's work. That's part of who I am.
Amen.
And I love doing it.
Yeah, and God, and that's how
when you're
God
hurting,
you.
Reach out to somebody else.
That's right.
Get your mind off of yourself and reach out to somebody else that needs you.
Yeah.
Because people need us,
and
especially in these days that we're living in, people need us.
Yeah, and they need that compassion. They need that compassion. You know, I just love how, you know, I love how, like, the story about the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, it's powerful. Like, she was just trying to touch the hem of his garment, and you know, but he literally called her daughter. That's my favorite part in that passage of scripture, that she was separated. She was following the law in reference to when a woman is on her cycle. But this woman did not stop bleeding. She was just continuing to bleed and bleed and bleed. And she was following the law. She kept herself separated. She was labeled unclean, but he called her daughter. And I love that part. And he said, your faith has made you whole. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, God, our faith in you is going to make us whole. Mm-hmm. It can make us whole. We don't have to walk around here broken and have a broken mentality because of what we've been through. Some of you may have been physically abused, sexually abused. It does not
verbally abused,
emotionally abused. You might have been in toxic cultures. You might have been in a cultish church. You might have been in a cultic system, whatever it may be. You don't have to walk away feeling like you will never be whole. I'm telling you, he said to her daughter, your faith had made you whole, not partially. Like, you know what? I'm still, no, that woman left there and she was living her life.
Amen.
He said to her daughter, your faith has made you whole. So it's possible to be whole here.
Amen.
It's possible to walk in wholeness. Not saying you're just oblivious to life, like things might not happen, but it is possible when everything around you is chaotic that you can walk in wholeness. That's beautiful.
And when you possibly may think that God could not love you, just think about what we've just talked about.
Yeah. He can love you. Yeah. He loves you.
You are lovable. No matter how your mother treated you, how your father treated you, how your husband treated you, or.
You are loved. You are of value. God loves you.
Yes.
What a great love. And when I say unfailing love, like unfailing love. Do you remember as a kid, I used to make these little macaroni noodle pictures and things like that. And then, you know, your mom or your dad will put it up on the refrigerator. Can you imagine God saying, that's my daughter. Look what my daughter, look at my daughter, look at my son. And that type of love, like even though that little macaroni noodle was not art, to our parents, oh, that's so beautiful. Look at what my daughter made. Look at what my son made. And it's just, I would look what happened. Look at my daughter. You know, to know that God's love is unfailing. It just does something to you. You know, not that you continue in sin, that you know, that grace may abound. No, God forbid that. But But it's just, he really loves you. He really, you know, just cares about you. And that's why sometimes we go through these challenges, because God's revealing, hey, you need to work on discernment in your relationships.
Yes.
You're not setting those healthy boundaries.
Work on your relationship with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes your relationship with him reflects in your relationship with others. You know, if you're not listening to your spouse, you're ignoring your spouse, you're not in unity with your spouse or anything like that. It's like, you know what, God, have I spent time with you? Have I sat with you? You know, I talked about that one time where I knew something was wrong spiritually, because I noticed how much dirty laundry I had. And I was like, my house is cluttered, right? And I started to see, well, I haven't done this. I haven't done. Yeah, what was going
on?
Exactly. And that's why I sat down for a minute and I said, oh, no, I got to take care of this. And that it's like, you have to pay attention to those things. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to what's around you, what's going on in your environment, who you're hanging around, what you're listening to. Mm-hmm. You know, some things I don't even feel comfortable listening to. Like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that garbage. I don't want to see that, because I know I need my ear gates, my eye gates to be pure. Mm-hmm. You know, I need my heart to be pure. So I need to work on my attitude, how I say things. And that's why I thank God for marriages, because they mirror, they reflect. Like, hey, every day you learn forgiveness when you're married, right? I'm telling you, because you got moments that's where it's true. Like, oh God, oh, yes. Right. I know my husband prays a lot for me. Help her. But I thank God for that, because it's like, it's teaching both of us about how God looks at us. He says, I'm married to the backslider. I'm married to the backslider. Can you imagine?
That's beautiful.
Can you imagine that that's how much he loves, he's married to the backslider? Oh my. I don't know. This is just such a wonderful conversation. It really has. Thank you all. Again, we see a few more comments. Yes, keep joy at the top. We want to just encourage you all today. I know right now that in the earth, God is revealing much. Mm-hmm. Revealing much. And I know it can be painful. I know it can be discouraging. But don't lose hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is still lifted high.
He's still on the throne.
That's
it. He never fell off.
He never fell
He's
off.
He's still there.
He's still there. He's still there. And
He's my rock. He's my rock.
My rock, my soul, my shield. He's my wheel in the middle of a wheel. Right? He is Lord. And we just want you to know today that it is possible to heal. It is possible to be whole, because Jesus said to her, daughter, thy faith have made you whole.
Yes.
Your faith. Don't lose faith. I found this necklace. I didn't even know it was in my house, but I found this necklace on the floor somewhere, and I was going through something and happened to look at it, and it said faith. And I've been wearing it ever since. I don't even know where I got this. I don't even know, y'all, but it was in my house. So I said, all right, Lord, I hear you. Keep the faith, y'all. It is possible to heal. It is possible. Get help. If you know someone who's being verbally, physically, emotionally abused, you don't know what to do, our only suggestion is pray, first of all. And if you got to do an anonymous phone call, you got to do an anonymous phone call.
I would like to add something else too. Those of you that are filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues, that is one of the best ways actually to work through some things. Sometimes we don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And so it also builds yourself up. And so just you can pray in tongues and do the dishes, you know, do housework in the car is a great time to do it. And it's just refreshing the
Amen.
Praying in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And you know, one thing that really, you know,
yeah, we can't forget about that part of our walk.
Yeah.
Because it's powerful.
Yeah. Speak it in tongues, your spiritual language.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't have the words to say.
And sometimes you're hurt so bad or whatever that you know, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But yes, you do know what to do.
Yeah. If you got a moan.
Heavenly language, come on now.
Yeah. If you got a moan, if you got a weep, if you got a travail, you do what you need to do, because the focus is to not be, destroyed and allow the enemy to steal and kill and destroy and leave you stuck. There's so many people. Yeah, they're going to church, but they're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You're going
checking
to service.
Off your church box. No, it's not about the church box. You're going there to meet with the Lord.
You're going to meet
and
with
worship
the Lord.
Is so important too. It helps you focus, because now when you worship to the Lord. And now your focus is the Lord. It's not what happened to you this week, or where you're going out to eat, or what happened at work.
Yeah.
Your focus now is the Lord. And so worship is so important. Ministering to the Lord. You're not ministering to people around you or to your pastor. You're ministering unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Whenever you worship.
Yeah. And worship.
Put some music on and dance. Get your flags out. Get your, your worship tools out.
Yeah.
And because, the flags, the colors have different meanings. So whenever you use that flag, you're putting that in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I name my flags, because now if you're in warfare, you can get the war flag out and you can do warfare and, red for the blood and,
Yeah. And you're in your secret closet doing that.
Right.
You are in your secret place privately, and you are going before the Lord instead of just sulking. And just like Elijah, when Jezebel had sent this threat and whatever, just a little threat, he went into his cave, didn't want to live anymore. Mm-hmm. And, God's like, all right. I hear you. I understand. I let you sulk long enough. You gotta anoint some people. Come on here, let me give you some food. I just love God. Like, he just like, he sees the humanity because he made us, but he's just like, okay, get up.
But he doesn't accept that.
No. We still have work to do. Like, all right, daughter, come on. It's so funny because
Joshua 1. Uh-huh. Be strong and be courageous.
Be strong
and be courageous.
Because he was mourning. So God saw that, yes, Moses has passed. But you guys still got to cross over. Moses has passed. I see it. I know it. He's my servant. But my people got to cross over.
Mm-hmm.
So now go and be of good cheer. Right? Be courageous. And I just love how he sees that about us. He sees what's happening. That's why in Hebrew is El Roi, E-L-R-O-I, the God who sees.
Right.
He sees everything. And I can't forget that, because even when I'm going through my moment where it's just like, no one understands, God sees. So I still have work to do. You still have work to do, right? Mm-hmm. You guys that are online, you still have work to do.
Yes.
Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be courageous. Be courageous.
I love that for that whole thing. Just read it today. It's just so powerful. He just keeps saying it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. He said it. He said it multiple times to Joshua. Multiple times.
Yes.
Because he had to go and the people had to go and cross over. There was a land for them to possess. And he had to cross over.
Right.
And he was the one that was going to lead them. Even though he was mourning, and even though, like, how am I going to lead these people? I'm not Moses. I'm not turning rods into snakes, and I'm not parting Red Seas. But Joshua was a fighter. Oh my!
But he'll use your personality. The Lord hasn't come to change our personality. He just came to redeem it.
Right. Oh Jesus, that's good. Hold on.
He just came to redeem it. I'm still this. I love to dance in the world, But now he's redeemed that for the Lord and added some worship tools to it.
Yeah.
That I can use. Yeah.
Amen.
That has a lot of meaning. And
amen.
Yes.
And he uses that. Joshua was a fighter. You know, he almost fought an angel. He said, wait a minute. Are you with us? Or are you with them? Like, what's this? You know, he was ready. You know, I always cracked up at that part. Even Joshua was like, okay, you know. But I just think that, you know, it's so true. Be courageous. Be strong. You know, be courageous. And he kept telling him that. So we just want to encourage you guys. You know, Luke chapter 22, verse 32. You know, when Peter had denied Christ, I can only imagine. I know I've heard many, many sermons, you know, but I can only imagine. This was Peter, y'all. Peter was the rock. Jesus called him the rock. Peter was up when Moses and Elijah came down and God spoke from it. Like, this was Peter, y'all.
Right.
And he denied knowing Christ. He was fearful. Like, fearful. Mm-hmm. They have taken my Savior. And they're about to kill him. And he denied
but
him.
But put yourself in that position.
Come on. Please they talk about it, Miss Linda.
They walked with him for a long time. Just think about it. Now he's gone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What would you do?
So now we got to do it on our own, and we don't know what to do. We're afraid, but they walked with him for how long?
Yep, 3 years. 3 years walking with him.
Every day.
Every single day. And because in that time, and please don't think it as walking with someone nowadays in 2023. No, in the Hebrew faith, you were with your rabbi. You ate, you slept. You were with that person every single day. That was like me and my husband just sleeping at Miss Linda's house every day for 3 years. Eating dinner, breakfast, lunch, mm-hmm. praying together, fasting together for 3 years. And
healing people,
and seeing and helping. And all of a sudden, they take him and he denied him. And I mean, you know, Peter, everybody's like, no, you even sound like him. You sound like him, because he was with Jesus, literally with Jesus. So that passage of scripture where Jesus was like, yeah, and Peter, he didn't forget about Peter. Even though Peter denied him, he restored Peter. We denied Christ as well. So even though people preach that passage of scripture many different ways, nothing against them, there's something meaningful in the fact that Jesus still restored Peter. And he said, and I love the part where Jesus said that Satan desires you. Can you imagine?
Desires to sift you like
desires this. To sift Peter.
And we're no different than he is.
He desires to sift you.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked to sift you. And this is Peter. Let's show some grace to Peter. I know Peter has long gone, but let's show some grace to Peter too. I'm encouraging you when we preach that sermon, that this man denied Christ like we have as well, right? And God was so merciful that he came and he says, have you found any fish? Because Peter went fishing. He's like, forget this. I'm going back to what I know. And I'm going to fish. And God's love went after Peter and said, do you love me more than these? And strengthen the brethren. After you've been converted, strengthen the brethren. And if you look at what converted, you have finally, truly surrendered, right? Not your idea of overtaking the Roman kingdom and ruling next to Jesus on the throne, right? Our earthly kingdom. He was talking spiritually. And one day when New Jerusalem comes on down, we're going to be worshiping, right? But he was talking about something that Peter is thinking earthly. And when he saw his Savior, He denied him. Yes, he denied him, y'all. I know that is in the passage of scripture. But Jesus came and restored that man of God in such a way that Peter was just like, he just was keeping it real. You killed Jesus. It got to the point where Peter was just open and honest, and he did the work of the Lord after that restoration. And you can be restored too.
That's right.
You can be restored too. Amen. Whatever you've done, you can be restored too.
Yes.
That's the whole point of strengthening the brethren today. You can be restored too. Miss Linda has been through things, and if you've ever heard her testimony, it's phenomenal. You can reach out to her. Miss Linda does not mind sharing her testimony, right? But her life has been restored in so many different ways. My life has been restored. I talk about it in the courses. I talk about it with my husband. We share about how our lives were restored and continuing to be restored. All of us, each day, God is doing great things.
Yes.
You know, and it's great things just to be alive. It's great,
Amen.
Great to just see you guys, and prayerfully someone's heart is restored, that you can come out of this, you can be healed. Anything else you want to share?
I think I'm good.
So one thing, definitely some of the books that Miss Linda had mentioned, we're going to talk about them again, so you guys can visit their website, or you can go on Amazon. That's Boundaries. Let me read the title real quick. So that's Boundaries, you guys. And oh, I love this. It says Boundaries: when to say yes and when to say no to take control of your life, by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And these are fellow believers as well, you guys. So I'm gonna bring this here.
You better.
Also, no is a complete sentence. Praise God. So you don't need to explain anything.
Hey, that's a good one.
And no is a complete sentence all by itself. So if someone says, hey, can you do this for me? No. God bless you. You don't need to say anything else. Right? No is a complete sentence.
I like that.
All right. And then this one, starting your day right. Help me, Lord. So when I'm tired and I just want to sleep, we're going to start our day right, y'all. Joyce Myers, this is a devotional for each morning of the year.
I think she has one for the evening too.
Yeah, so here's this here, you guys. The books that I'm reading to help, unfortunately I don't have them, but I'll tell you the name of it and the title. Managing Your Emotions. Listen, Miss Linda has given me several books to help with this. So instead of your emotions, managing you. This is by Joyce Myers. And we said it today. Don't let it take over you. You take over it. Okay. Don't let it take root, as Sister Tracy said. Okay. Here's another one by Joyce Myers. We love Miss Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is called Living Beyond Your Feelings, Controlling Emotions So They Don't Control You. This is by Joyce Myers as well. Right. And we're sharing all this information, you guys, because listen, the Word of God, most importantly, is the greatest book to help us through every single thing.
Right.
Yes, we have these other books that we read and we thank God for them, but the Word of God, get into your Word, beautiful people. Read Matthew 5, read Ephesians 6, read Philippians, read these books that will encourage you in the faith. Another book that helped me, of course, was in Matthew chapter 5. I read Matthew chapter 5, Worshiping Through Conflict by Prophetess Dr. Kim Black. That is a phenomenal book. It's also a course. I don't know if she's going to be doing it again, but if she does, you guys definitely want to join that. Forgiving What You Can't Forget by Lisa Turkis. This is a good book. What else did I read? I read a few books, you guys, to help me, because I was like, I need help, Lord. I need help, right? Because I didn't want anger to get me to the point where I would do something, you know, and I didn't want that. And so I thank God for my husband. I thank God for my friends who were like, what's going on? You know, what do you want? Let's talk about it. We're seeing you're withdrawing. So whenever they would see me withdraw, nope, we're going to get it. We're going to get a hold of it before it gets a hold
when
of you.
You feel like that, you need to pick up the phone.
Exactly.
And call a friend.
Call a friend. call a friend.
Don't be afraid to ask for prayer.
Yeah.
Or text them and say, hey, I'm you know, I'm feeling this way, da 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 da. Please keep me in your prayers today.
Yeah. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. Have the courage. Here's another thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have the courage to say, I need help.
Yes.
I need help. And if you don't know what that help is, I just need someone to listen. Or can you just sit with me? Can we just go out to eat? Mm-hmm. Can we just have a fun day?
I'm always out for that.
Yeah. Miss Linda. Yeah. Our spot is
Cracker Barrel,
right? We listen, whatever, have the courage to say, I need help. I've been there. I know. And I'm gonna say this to all of us who ask for help. I'm speaking to you. For all of us who ask for help and no one helped, there are still people out there that God will send that will help you. Have the courage to trust again. Have the courage to open up again. I'm telling you, have the courage to say, God, I need someone to be there for me. I'm telling you, God will send someone. God will send someone where they will be able to catch you in the spirit. I thank God for the people of God who pray and they catch people in the spirit. I don't know what's going on with you, but the Spirit of God told me to call you, and the Spirit of God, I've been praying for you. They catch you in the spirit. We need that. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important. I don't want to go on a tangent, but this is why the Holy Spirit is so important, because if I sense that something is wrong with Miss Linda, I'm going to go in prayer, right? But the sensitivity that the Holy Spirit brings to my brothers and my sisters, this is what we need, because there are so many of them that are, they're shouting, they're playing, they're singing, but they're hurting.
Mm-hmm. And if it's a facade.
It's a facade. And if we catch them in the spirit, you know what? I see you're really not happy. That smile really ain't real. No, that's not real. I know you. You got sadness in your eyes. It's to the point where you could see the sadness in someone's eyes. And the Spirit of God saying, pray for them. Let us get back
to
that place.
That's why we have to be open to hear.
Yes.
And I talk about that in my book, Why Flags, about hearing is so important.
Yeah, yeah.
That you hear the Lord.
Yeah, that we hear the Lord.
And if somebody's name comes to you, it's for a reason. Call them.
Yeah.
Call them.
Yeah.
If somebody's name comes to you, the Lord wants you to call them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And talk to them.
Amen. So we hope you all have been blessed. Listen, this has been an amazing interview. We went over almost an hour and a half, but it was just awesome. We thank you all for taking this Saturday morning. You guys were up. God bless you all.
Amen.
God bless you all. Again, if you want to reach out to Miss Linda, if you could just tell how people can reach out to you and what you're doing or books that they can purchase, you can do that.
Okay, well, you can reach out to me. Behold His Presence at hotmail.com. I don't know what else to you caught me off guard.
I'm sorry. I'll put you on the spot.
I do have a book. It's called Why Flags. It explains the flag ministry. I go over dance. It's not just about flags. I mean, worship is so important. I talk about worship, I talk about praise, I talk about dance. I show some of my flags, I name them, give them scriptures. So I'm always open to also come in and speak at conferences and anything that if you would like for me to come in and talk to your women's group, I can also do that.
Amen. And you guys, you know, Broken Vessels Podcast, we are having our first conference where, oh man, I'm so excited.
Yay.
Next week, January 20th at Temple New Beginning, 1527 State Street in Harrisburg. I know some of our followers are in different places of the state and country, but we are going to try to definitely stream it for those who are in different countries and out of the state of Pennsylvania for you guys. So we're really excited. We have some phenomenal speakers and amazing hosts. Worship I'm actually going to be singing. So that's another part of the journey of healing. That's the journey of healing, you guys, because I was not singing. I was like, no, I said, I'm not singing.
Get yourself out there, girl.
Mama Linda's like, why aren't you up here? Mama Linda's like, why aren't you up here? And I'm like, oh, I hear you. So I'm just excited. A beautiful sister of mine will be helping me in worship. She will be coming. She's an anointed singer as well. So we're just going to have a blessed time. It is free. It is next week again on Saturday at 12 p.m. We are going to be having I'm just excited for whatever God's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do, but we just want to be in his presence. And that's what it's about. Again, we are looking for guests. We are in our third season of Broken Vessels Podcast. So if anybody wants to share their testimony, they can. You want to say something?
Go ahead.
Oh, we also have me and a hubby and Miss Linda are doing a book fair on February 24th in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. At the Frederickson Library from 1:30 to 3:30. If you're interested in being a vendor, please reach out to Linda by emailing beholdhis@hotmail.com. We're looking for vendors. It's a beautiful space. So she wants vendors there. I'll be there vending my books.
People coming to love
and
to
people
buy
coming
books.
To support the kingdom. These are kingdom believers who have written phenomenal literature, and we want to support that. What else is going on? So we're looking for guests too in this third season of Broken Vessels Podcast. 3 years since we launched in 2021, and God's continuing to bless. So if you want to share your testimony, if you want to share on the goodness of the Lord, please email brokenvesselspodcast@gmail.com. And that's pretty much it for Broken Vessels Podcast right now. We're just excited for everything that God has said through us today. Yes. And we pray that you know that you can be healed and whole. And there's healing.
Know that you're free.
You are
just
free.
Just know that you're free. You've got to believe it yourself. Don't see yourself broken anymore. See yourself. I want you to close your eyes and see yourself. For me, it was dancing. I like sunflowers. So dancing, because I love to dance in this a patch of sunflowers, just being free, just laughing and dancing onto the Lord. So just see yourself there. Mm. You have to see yourself there.
See yourself free.
See yourself there. Yes.
My God. Amen. So what a way to end it. See yourself free, you guys. So we love you all and pray you have an amazing, amazing day. And we're praying for you. Be blessed.
Bye.
Bye-bye.